بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who followed the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through some of the virtues of seeking knowledge and traversing the path of knowledge. And in this lesson, bi-idhnillah, we are going to go through and discuss some of the obstacles that are a barrier for a person seeking knowledge, i.e. when a person traverses a path in order to seek knowledge, then on this path there are certain obstacles, and these obstacles make it difficult for a person to seek knowledge. And the author in this book, Ma'alim fi Tariqi Talab al-Ilm, Milestones or Landmarks in the Path of the Student of Knowledge, he mentions 10 main obstacles. And next week, bi-idhnillah, I'll ask you, or I'll test you briefly, just to mention the 10 main obstacles. And these are called al-mu'awwiqat, i.e. obstacles in the path to knowledge. So the first obstacle, it is fasadun niyyah. It is when the intention of a person, it becomes corrupt. So whenever the intention of a person becomes corrupt, then this is the first obstacle which hinders him or her in seeking knowledge. And previously in the last two lessons, we mentioned what is the correct niyyah a person should have when it comes to seeking knowledge. Who can remember the correct intention? It is raf'ul jahl anin nafs, a person removing ignorance from himself. When a person wants to come to any lesson, read any book, memorize the Quran or anything else, then it is only to remove ignorance from yourself, not to become a da'i, not to become an imam, not to rectify society or change the rulers, but in order so you can worship Allah upon basira, in order so you can worship Allah upon insight and upon knowledge. And of course the niyyah, the intention, shaitan uses this in order to corrupt it and in order to hinder a person seeking knowledge. And for this reason, from the imams of the salaf like Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, "Ma 'alajtu شَيْئًا أَشَدَّ عَلَيَّ مِن نِيَّتِي." He said, "I have not tried to cure anything more severe upon myself than my intention, my niyyah." And he also said, "مَا جَاهَدْتُ نَفْسِي عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَمُجَاهَدَتِهَا عَلَى الْإِخْلَاصِ." I have never had to strive against my soul, against my desires in anything, like the striving I have to do to push it towards ikhlas, to keep it upon sincerity. And if that is Sufyan al-Thawri and other imams like him, and yet shaitan is entering into them through the niyat and through al-ikhlas and trying to diminish their sincerity, then of course us who are much weaker and much more ignorant, we are more susceptible to this. And therefore we shouldn't think that the niyyah or the intention, it is just a primary condition. Meaning, before I seek knowledge, I correct my intention, then khalas. And now I am mukhlis and my intention is correct. Rather, before seeking knowledge and throughout seeking knowledge and even after seeking knowledge, a person has to maintain ikhlas. And a person has to constantly rectify his intention. And Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, he mentioned a word. He said, "Ma jahadtu nafsi ala shay'in ka mujahadatiha ala al-ikhlas." I have never made mujahada. And the meaning of mujahada is constant striving and constant efforts to remain upon al-ikhlas. So intention, the niyyah or al-ikhlas, it isn't only a primary condition before seeking knowledge. Rather, it is something which you have to always make muraqabah, hold yourself to account, and always make mujahada before and during and after, that am I doing this for the sake of Allah? And Allah said in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The successful person is the one who seeks to purify his heart. I all the time, he is purifying his heart. Not just that he thinks that now my intention is correct, خلاص, I am a mukhlis. And Allah said, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. And the one who neglects and allows his heart to be wasted, he is the one who has destroyed himself. So therefore, it requires mujahada and muraqaba. There's also a point that sometimes a person may ask, before seeking knowledge and before I know, how will I know regarding ikhlas? How can I maintain ikhlas and rectify my intention before even learning, because I don't know what al-ikhlas is and I don't know the meaning of a correct intention? And there are also statements of the Salaf, like Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni, wa huwa Amirul Muhaddithin, the Imam of the people of Hadith. He said, and other than him, they would say, طَلَبْنَا الْعِلْمُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, that we used to seek knowledge for other than Allah. Ad-Darqutni, Amirul Muhaddithin, he said, طَلَبْنَا الْعِلْمَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. We sought knowledge for other than Allah. We did not seek knowledge for Allah. But then he said, وَلَكِنْ أَبَى أَنْ يَأْتِ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. However, knowledge refused to come to us until we made our intention for the sake of Allah. So Darqutni said, when we first started seeking knowledge, it wasn't for the sake of Allah. But knowledge refused to come to us until we started rectifying our intention and making it for the sake of Allah. And there are two possible explanations that the ulama give to this. The first explanation is that when Ad-Darqutni rahimullah and his likes and the great imams of the Salaf, when they initially started seeking knowledge, they started seeking knowledge because of the love of knowledge, just because of the love of learning. Some people, they have a love of learning. They like reading. It's something which is easy for them, and they enjoy learning and reading and memorizing. So initially, when some of the ulama, when they mention these statements, it means that when we first started seeking knowledge, it was only out of hubbul ilm, just loving knowledge. وَحُبُّ الْعُلَمَاءِ, loving the scholars and wanting to be in the gatherings of knowledge. But then later on, when we learnt about al-ikhlas and when we learnt about niyyah, then we changed our intention from being loving knowledge to making it for the sake of Allah. This is the first explanation. The second explanation is that sometimes, or the nature of people, and especially those people who are seeking knowledge, is that sometimes love of status and love of fame, it may enter into the heart of a person. And this is something which perhaps many people are affected with. That initially, when you seek knowledge and maybe people are praising you, mashallah, you go to the lessons and you've memorized and you know what X, Y, Z, then something may enter into your heart from the love of being praised and the love of fame and the love of status and being called a talib al-ilm. But then, as you seek knowledge and you read the ayat in which Allah encourages to us to have ikhlas, and you read those ayat and those ahadith in which Allah rebukes against a shirk wa riya, then this is a lesson for you, and you change your niyyah and you make it upon ikhlas. So these are the two possible explanations. So therefore, as I mentioned, the meaning of having a correct niyyah and being sincere is that you have to make constant mujahada. You always have to strive against your soul. And Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Those people who make the mujahada, they make the constant striving, they are the ones who we will guide to our paths. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah is with the people who do good. The second obstacle, even though it enters into the first obstacle, is the love of fame and the love of being known and the love of being in front of the people. And that this is also, or this is the second obstacle in the path to knowledge. Al-Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah, he said in Al-I'tisam, آخِرُ الْأَشْيَاءِ نُزُولًا مِنْ قُلُوبِ الصَّالِحِينَ حُبَّ السُّلْطَةِ وَالتَّصَدُّرِ. That the last thing which is removed from the hearts of the righteous people is to love status and love authority and love fame and love being known. I.e. the greatest thing and the most difficult thing which shaitan uses to fight against, especially the salihin and the tulab al-ilm and the ulama, is the love of fame and the love of status. And this is because the teacher or the sheikh or the talib al-ilm, he is already tested with being in front of people and people looking at him. So when an alim enters the masjid, the people turn around him. And when the talib al-ilm is giving a lesson, then the faces of people turning towards him. And when a person answers a question or gives a lesson, or the imam gives a khutbah, or the qari gives a recitation, then people will say to him, MashaAllah, I enjoyed your recitation. I enjoyed your qura'ah. I find tranquility in your qura'ah. I enjoyed your lesson. I enjoyed your khutbah, and so on and so forth. So the environment around him is already there in which love of fame can enter into his heart. And for this reason, shaitan uses this. And for this reason, al-Shatibi said, آخِرُ الْأَشْيَاءَ نُزُولًا مِنْ قُلُوبِ الصَّالِحِينَ. The last thing which is removed from the hearts of the righteous people is حُبَّ السُّلْطَةَ وَالتَّصَدُّرِ, is the love of authority, the love of status, and the love of being in front of people. However, this is also an obstacle in the path to seeking knowledge. Because whenever a person has love in his heart of fame and being in front of the people, then having humility to learn becomes difficult for him. And nowadays, the calamity and the affliction is that people are becoming famous before they learn. So you will find somebody who hasn't learned, who hasn't studied, and yet he has already become a famous personality on YouTube, for example. And then it becomes difficult for him to learn. Because he has this fame and this status and so many followers, for him now to taste the humility and the humbleness of seeking knowledge becomes difficult for him. Perhaps the one who is teaching him, he is less well known than the one, this personality who is learning. And therefore this is an obstacle in the path to seeking knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ النَّاسِ يُقْضَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ رَجُلْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمُ عَلَّمَهُ. The first person who will be held accountable on the day of resurrection is a man, is a person who sought knowledge and he taught this knowledge. وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ, and he recited the Qur'an. So then he will be bought and it will be said to him, فِيمَا تَعَلَّمْتَ, why did you learn? وَفِيمَا قَرَأْتَ, and why did you used to recite the Qur'an? And he will say, Ya Rab, O my Lord, تَعَلَّمْتُ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمْتُهُ فِيكَ. O my Lord, I only sought knowledge for your sake. And I used to teach for your sake. And the Qari will say, وَقَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنَ فِيكَ, and I used to recite the Qur'an for your sake. And it will be said to him, كَذَبْتْ, you have lied. وَلَكِنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُقَالْ عَالِمْ. Rather, you only sought knowledge so people could say to you that you are a scholar. وَإِنَّمَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيُقَالْ قَارِي, and you only used to recite the Qur'an so it was said that you are a qari and you have a beautiful voice. ثُمَّ أُمِرَ بِهِ فَسُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ, and then he will be ordered and he will be dragged and thrown into the fire upon his face, عَذْمِ بِاللَّهِ. And this is because these people, they only sought knowledge and they only recited the Quran in order for fame and status. So it is said, Fulan is a sheikh and Fulan is an imam and an alim, and this one is a qari and he has a beautiful voice. And the exit from this, the relief from this trap of the shaitan, is that a person, he recites the Quran beautifully and melodiously, whether he is alone in his room or there are people in front of him. So whether he is leading the people in the prayer or he's alone in his room, his recitation of the Quran in the melodious tone that he recites, it does not change. And this shows that he isn't doing it for the sake of the people, because when he's alone, then he still does it. And also the scholar who comes and teaches, his teaching remains the same, whether he's teaching in front of five people or he's teaching in front of a masjid with 1,000 people. The effort that he places and the preparation that he does, it remains for the sake of Allah. Whether five people are learning, or one person is learning, or 1,000 people are learning. Why? Because he's doing it for the sake of the people. He's doing it for the sake of Allah, and he isn't doing it for the sake of the one, or the five, or the 1,000. The third obstacle in the path to knowledge is people being lazy and hesitant to come to the gatherings of knowledge. And it used to be said in the olden days, Al-ilmu yu'ta wa la ya'ti ilay, that knowledge, you have to go towards knowledge and knowledge does not come to you. In the olden days, this is what used to be said. Al-ilmu yu'ta wa la ya'ti, that you have to go to knowledge. Knowledge has to be approached. Knowledge doesn't come to you and it doesn't approach you. However, nowadays, because of the blessing of Allah, you could almost say the opposite is true. That now knowledge comes to you and you don't even have to go and travel and search for knowledge. So, audios and videos and books, all of them are readily available. A person could still be a student of Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, even though Shaykh Ibn Baz has left this dunya. A person could still be a student of Al-Albani rahimullah, even though Al-Albani has left this dunya. Why? Because the books and the cassettes and the lessons, the audio, the video, all of it is in front of our hands. And also the gatherings of the ulama, the gatherings of the tulabul ilm and the circles of knowledge. In many masajid, in many cities, you find Ahlul Sunnah and they are teaching. And therefore, the obstacle is when a person, he refuses all of this ni'mah, he refuses all of this blessing, and he turns away. The fourth obstacle which hinders a person in seeking knowledge is a person making an excuse that I'm too busy to seek knowledge. I'm too busy to learn. I don't have time to learn. And in reality, this is something which shaitan places in the minds of the people. Otherwise, if a person was to hold himself to account and he enumerated how many minutes he wastes in the day. So how many hours does he waste in oversleeping? Not in sleeping, but oversleeping. And then a person wakes up and the first thing he will check is his Facebook or his or her Twitter or WhatsApp messages, and maybe an hour will go just in these messages and these posts. And then the time that it is spent to get ready and have breakfast and have a shower, maybe already 2 or 3 hours have been wasted and nothing has been done. And even the gatherings of friends. That imagine, for example, some people, they will gather with their friends maybe 2 or 3 hours every day or 3 or 4 times a week. So if we said to that person, still go to your friends and be with your friends, but instead of 2 hours, just stay with them an hour. For just 5 days a week, instead of being for them for 2 hours every day, be with them just 1 hour every day. That means you have 1 hour every single day for the sake of knowledge. 5 hours in a week altogether. So this is something with shaitan, he places in the hearts or the minds of people. Otherwise, if a person was to structure his time and organize his time and manage his time, manage his visits and have a strong determination, then this excuse would not occur in the mind of a person. The fifth obstacle in the path to knowledge, and this specifically it refers to the younger brothers like Ibrahim and Abdullah and Rahim and Zain and the other younger brothers, is neglecting knowledge while you're still young, not learning whilst you are young. Because whilst you are young, your brain, it is fresh and empty, and you haven't been weighted with marriage and jobs and difficulties and finances and paying the bills and all of these other things which occupy a person's mind. And for this reason, the ulama, they used to say, as we mentioned previously, طلب العلم في الصغر كالنقش في الحجر, that seeking knowledge whilst you are young is like an engraving on a stone. That the stone which is engraved, if it is stone, even after 100 years, that engraving it remains. And this is why somebody memorizes whilst they are young. And then when a person starts getting older, then slowly other responsibilities and other distractions of the dunya, they come upon a person. But this doesn't mean that if a person becomes older, then he doesn't seek knowledge. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimullah, he said, وَقَدْ تَعَلَّمَ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي كِبَرِ سِنِّهِمْ, that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they learned and they started seeking knowledge whilst they were old. Because many of the companions, they entered Islam and they were old, and yet they became the great scholars of the religion. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, he entered Islam and he was the same age of the Prophet, 40, 39, 41, 1 or 2 years older or younger. And yet he became an imam of this religion. Now we have to remember that knowledge, it is ibadah. Knowledge is worship. And Allah says, Allah orders us to carry on worshipping Him up until death. And this includes knowledge. Carry on seeking knowledge up until a person dies. Allah said in the Quran, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ, worship your Lord up until yaqeen comes to you, up until certainty comes to you, i.e. the certainty of death. So if al-ilm is ibadah, then we have to carry on seeking ilm, knowledge, and worshiping Allah up until the certainty of death comes to us. The sixth matter, which is an obstacle in the path to seeking knowledge, is a person making the excuse that I need to concentrate on other sciences. I don't have time for Tawheed and Fiqh and Sunnah and Hadith and Quran, because I need to learn about politics, I need to know about what's going on around the world, I need to have Fiqh al-Waqi, I need to have understanding of the reality. We need to also push our children towards secular sciences, so we don't have time for this Fiqh and Hadith and coming to the Masjid and learning. And with regards to people knowing that which is around them, whether it is politics, whether it is the state of the Ummah, knowing what's happening in the Muslim world, then the people are divided into three different groups. There are two extremes and there's one who is in the middle. So one extreme is a person knows nothing of the religion, has no interest in learning about Islam, and yet when it comes to the BBC and the Times and the Independent and the Guardian, knowing what's happening in this country and that country and this rulership and this government and politics and secular knows, he knows everything about that. He's an encyclopedia of everything else, yet when it comes to the knowledge of Islam, he's like an empty white page. This is one extreme. The other extreme is a person who is completely ignorant of that which is around him. Whether they are local issues which affect you, your family, your community and your society and your masjid, local issues and local laws and things like that, or that which is happening around the Muslim world, and knowing that which occurs regarding the Muslim world, that person has completely no knowledge regarding that, this is also an extreme. And this is because this knowledge, it will be beneficial when you have to deal with the issues which are surrounding your community and the issues which are surrounding your masjid and your family. And this knowledge, it will help you to deal with that which is going on around the world and understand that which is going on around the world. And therefore, the person who is in the middle are those people who have an awareness and knowledge, some level of knowledge and general awareness of that which is around them and that which is happening around the world. But the main focus and ambition is the knowledge of the Akhirah. And that they know that the only thing which will solve all of these issues is that which is learnt from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And taken as an example, Shaykhul Islam, Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. That he was living in a time in which the Ummah was going through many changes. The enemies were attacking the Ummah from the Tartar and other than them. And then there was ideological warfare from the philosophers and the Christians and other than them. And Ibn Taymiyyah was living in the middle of that time. And Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimullah, did he ever say that now is not the time for the Quran and the Sunnah and learning and fiqh and aqidah, now we need to learn about politics and the enemies and the strategies? He didn't say this. Rather, he knew what was happening around him, but he focused on this. Up until he became the Imam whom people would approach in order to ask him the way out of these problems for the Ummah. And then he authored what he authored. And he made the Jihad which he made. So he refuted the Christians in his book Al-Jawab al-Sahih liman baddala deen al-Masih. And he refuted the philosophers wa ahlul kalam in his book Dar al-Ta'arud. And he fought jihad against the enemies and he became an imam of this ummah. So there is no contradiction between both of these affairs. The seventh matter which is an obstacle in the path to seeking knowledge is tazkiyatun nafs. And the meaning of tazkiyatun nafs is a person praising himself. A person always having a good opinion regarding himself. A person having absolute self-confidence to the level of arrogance in himself. Tazkiyatun nafs. A person giving his own nafs, his own soul and his own self tazkiyah. And Allah Jalla fil Ula and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they forbade us from tazkiyatun nafs. Allah said in the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not praise yourselves. Do not give a tazkiyah to yourself. Do not recommend yourself. Why? هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Because he is the most knowing of who is pious amongst you, who has at-taqwa. And Allah said in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do you not see those people who praise themselves? بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Rather, it is Allah who praises whoever he wants. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, لَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not praise yourselves. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْلَمُ بِأَهْلِ الْبِرِّ مِنْكُمْ. Because Allah is most knowing of who amongst you are the people of righteousness. So, when a person starts praising himself and starts becoming arrogant, then this becomes an obstacle in seeking knowledge. However, at the same time, there has to be a balance. And that is, in certain situations, it is allowed for a person to praise himself or to mention something good for himself in certain situations. Now that is like the statement of Yusuf alayhi salam to Al-Aziz. He said to him, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. He said to Al-Aziz, the king or the minister of that time, he said to him, appoint me as like the minister of finance or the minister of treasury, make me the treasury. Why? He said, إني حفيظ عليم. Because I am حفيظ and عليم. I can protect it and also I have expertise and knowledge regarding this affair. So in this ayah, for particular maslaha of the sharia, he praised himself and he mentioned a good quality regarding himself. And also, for example, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, When Allah mentioned in the Quran, لَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, nobody knows the ta'wil of the Quran, either the tafsir of the Quran, except Allah, and the rasikhuna fil ilm, those who are firmly entrenched in knowledge. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, wa ana min ar-rasikhina fil ilm, that I am from those people, when it comes to tafsir, I have knowledge of this tafsir. So people come and learn from him. And to make it relevant to us, for example, if there is an interview for a particular position, let's say in the masjid as a teacher or as a khatib, a person mentions some of his good qualities, that I graduated from and I've experienced it in such and such, and these are my references, and I've been giving khutab for the past. So all of this, although it enters into tazkiyatun nafs, but because it is of a maslaha shar'iyyah, because it is of a benefit to the sharia, it becomes permitted. And then the eighth matter, which is an obstacle hindering people in the path to knowledge, is not acting upon your knowledge. Not doing the righteous actions after knowing about the righteous actions. Like Allah said in the Quran, كَبُرَ مَقَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. How severe of a sin or an anger it is with Allah that you say that which you do not do. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do you order the people with righteousness and piety and yet you forget yourselves? And this was from the khisal, or from the characteristics of the Jews and the Christians, al-Yahud wa al-Nasara, that they would know the truth and yet they would not act and implement the truth. And Amirul Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu anhu said, يَهْتِفُ الْعِلْمِ بِالْعَمَلِ, that knowledge, it calls out the actions. فَإِنْ أَجَابَهُ وَإِلَّا ارْتَحَلْ. So either the actions answer this call or the knowledge will leave. Meaning knowledge, it requires actions. So if the actions don't back up this knowledge, then the knowledge and the action, both of them will leave a person. And the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah, how they used to memorize the Quran in a particular method. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَا كُنَّا نُجَاوِزُ عَشْرَ آيَاتٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. We the companions, we never used to memorize more than 10 ayat of the Quran. حَتَّى نَعْلَمَهَا وَنَعْمَلَ بِهَا, until we seek knowledge regarding these ayat and we act upon these ayat. So after we had acted upon these ayat and we know about these ayat, then we would move on to memorizing the other ayat. And there's an important point to mention here. And if I remember correctly, it is a statement of Al-Imam Malik, Wallahu A'lam, that he said, if we were to only order with righteousness that which we do, meaning we only order with righteousness after we are fulfilling those acts of righteousness, and if we were to forbid the evil from only those things which we do not do, then al-amru bil-ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar would never take place. So even this issue, it has to be with balance, that we strive to implement our knowledge. But this doesn't mean that just because a person doesn't do a particular good action, that then he doesn't encourage anybody else to do this action. Or for example, a person falls into a sin, but then he refuses to advise other people not to fall in sin with the excuse, but I am also a sinner, therefore how can I warn anybody else? So a person carries on with al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, and at the same time he strives within himself to do righteous deeds and to make tawbah from his sins. This doesn't mean that you only order with righteousness once you are righteous, and you only warn against evil once you are not a sinner anymore. It means that regardless of your shortcomings and the sins which you are committing, you make tawbah and you strive and you make mujahad and muraqabah. By the same time, al-amr bil-ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. And then the ninth obstacle to knowledge is ihtiqar al-dhat. And ihtiqar al-dhat, it means a person belittling himself. And again we see the balance and the moderation of the Sharia, alhamdulillah. that previously the author mentions, tazkiyatun nafs, that you don't praise yourself. You don't overly praise yourself. But at the same time, you don't belittle yourself. And you remain like this, in balance between having hope in Allah and between having fear of Allah, Jalla fil ula. So a person, for example, if he can't memorize an ayah of the Quran and he's been memorizing and trying and trying and trying, he shouldn't say, I can't memorize, I have a weak knowledge, I'll never learn knowledge, I'm a weak person, I'm a jahil. A person doesn't belittle himself like this. I'm ignorant, I am jahil. Because there is one common trait, one shared characteristic between every single one of us. There is one thing which I and you and the Imam of the Masjid and Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and Ibn Taymiyyah and Al-Imam Abu Hanifa wa Shafi'i, all of us, we share one single trait amongst some of the other traits. And that is that every single one of us, me, you, the Imam and the Imams of the Salaf, every single one of us was born a Jahil. None of these Imams were ever born an Alim. Every single one of them was born a Jahil. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُم مِّن بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah, He brought you out from the wombs of your mothers and you did not know anything. Regardless of whether you are Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, wa Shafi'i, wa Malik, wa Ahmad ibn Hanbal, or you are those who are here today, then all of you started with the same point as Juhal. And therefore, Al-Imam Malik, he was not born Al-Imam Malik. He was born as a baby called Malik ibn Anas, Malik the son of Anas. And Al-Imam Abu Hanifa was not born, he didn't come out of his womb as Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. He came out of his womb as Nu'man the son of Thabit. But through learning and through sincerity and ikhlas and doing righteous actions, they became imams of the religion. So if all of us are starting at the same point and the path is one, the path of seeking knowledge, it is the same path which has been laid down in the Quran and the Sunnah. So there's no need for a person to belittle himself and especially belittle his children. So why can we not hope and push our children, the Ibrahims and the Abdullahs and the Zains and the other children here, to be the next Ibn Taymiyyahs or to be the next Albani? If you say that it's because we're living in Europe, then Albani was from Albania, which is also in Europe. So a person shouldn't belittle himself and neither should he belittle those who are around him. And also, from those matters which are an obstacle in the path of seeking knowledge is of course sins. And this enters into not doing righteous actions. And then the last matter, which we finish with bi-idhnillah wa bi-tawfiqih, the last obstacle, the 10th obstacle in the path to seeking knowledge is at-taswif. And this the ulama, they call marad at-taswif. It is a disease, it is a marad. And the meaning of at-taswif is saying sawfa af'al wa sawfa af'al. That I will do and I will do. I delaying and procrastinating, you just keep that, I will memorize. I want to memorize the Quran, but I'll start in a month's time just to give myself a bit of a break. I want to attend the circles of knowledge, but I've missed one or two, so what I'll do is I'll attend when the next book starts. And this is a marad, this is a disease. And from amongst the Salaf are those who would say, At-taswif min junudi iblis. That at-taswif saying, sawfa af'al, I will do and I will do in the future and keep delaying things. This is from the armies of iblis. And the person who keeps saying, sawfa af'al, doesn't the miskeen know that perhaps the death will come to him suddenly and therefore sawfa will never come? The time in the future, it will never come. So this is also something which shaitan places in the minds of the people. And Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah, he said, إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّسْوِيفِ. Be aware of this disease called at-taswif. سَوْفَ أَفْعَلَ. I will do and I will do. He said, فَإِنَّكَ بِيَوْمِكَ وَلَسْتَ بِغَدِكَ. Because you are according to today. You are not according to tomorrow. So yesterday is that which has gone. Today is what you are living. Tomorrow you don't know whether you will reach it or not. In fact, in the Quran, Allah calls يوم القيامة tomorrow. He said, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Let every soul, let every person prepare for tomorrow. Tomorrow meaning the Akhirah, tomorrow meaning death. So the days are three. Yesterday, and this was history and it has gone, and you cannot change it. That which you earned, and that which you missed, you have missed. And then there is Ghad, tomorrow. And this tomorrow is Yawm al-Qiyamah. And tomorrow it is Yawm al-Qiyamah, you don't know. It could be your death. So today is the day which you are living in, and therefore this marad, or this disease of at-taswif, is the 10th obstacle to knowledge, and will suffice with that for this lesson. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.